translation and purport. Translation. At that time, O best of the Kurus, the universally worshipped Devaki took the opportunity to address her two sons, Krishna and Balaram. Previously, she had heard with astonishment that they had brought their spiritual master's son back from death. Now, thinking of her own sons who had been murdered by Kamsa, she felt great sorrow. And thus, with tear-filled eyes, she beseeched Krishna and Balaram. Purport. Vasudeva's love for Krishna had been disturbed because his awareness of Krishna's opulences conflicted with seeing him as his son. In a different way, Devaki's love was somewhat distracted by her lamentation for her dead sons. So Krishna arranged to relieve her of the mistaken idea that anyone else but him was actually her son. Since Devaki is known to be worshipped by all great souls, her show of maternal affection must actually have been an effect of the Lord's Yogamaya, who increases the pleasure of his pastimes. Thus in text 54, Devaki will be described as Mohita Mayaya Vishnoh, bewildered by the internal energy of Lord Vishnu. Om Jnanatimiram Prasim Jnana Jnana Shalakaya Chakshurur Mujitam Veda Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kada Mahiyam Dharati Sautakantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yudha Padatabalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunathamitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanditamsa Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Yatinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Vipasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. I'm very happy to be back in Radhavanda Mishra Temple. And very pleasantly surprised to see full house even on a Friday morning, working day. Thank you for taking the trouble to come this morning. We are on the 85th chapter of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Krishna instructs Vasudeva. The background is that Krishna has instructed his father, Vasudeva, and now his mother Devaki, having seen that, is about to petition her son, who is the Supreme Lord. She wants a favor from him, and her sons who had been earlier killed, her six sons who had been killed by Kamsa, were causing her great grief. She remembered those terrible days when she had to personally witness the killing of her babies by Kamsa. In the verse itself, we see a description of Mother Devaki's bewilderment. On one hand, she thought of Krishna and Balaram as her sons, and on the other, she also understood that they were the Supreme Lord. A similar predicament that
her husband Vasudev also faced. Previously, when Vasudev was instructed by Krishna, he understood that Krishna was the Supreme Lord, and that somewhat diminished the sweetness of his love for Krishna. Now it's interesting that Devaki and Vasudev both understood that Krishna was the Supreme Lord, and this understanding of Krishna's opulence somewhat diminished the sweetness of their love for Krishna, whom they had earlier thought to be their son. But when they knew of Krishna being the Supreme Lord, they felt, oh, how can I think of Krishna as my son? He's actually God. So naturally, the sweetness or the intimacy that they had towards Krishna was diluted, compromised. No longer could they think of treating Krishna as their son. This was their predicament. But Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj didn't have this predicament. Even though they were many times told that Krishna was the Supreme Lord, it didn't matter to them. Their love for Krishna didn't diminish in sweetness. They continued to think of Krishna as their son. This is the difference between Vrindavan and Mathura. In Vrindavan, the sense of intimacy and sweetness is so strong that no amount of understanding of the opulence of Krishna and his greatness can ever diminish that sweetness. There is no trace of awe and reverence that comes into the hearts of Devaki and Vasudev and also the other residents of Vrindavan, who are great devotees of Krishna. So this is something extraordinary. While in other places, in Mathura and Dwarka, knowledge of Krishna's opulence and greatness and of his godhood serves to diminish the sweetness of the love of his devotees for him, it acts exactly in the opposite way in Vrindavan. The more they know about Krishna's greatness and his opulence, the more they intimately love Krishna as their friend or their son or their lover and so on. So this is how we can distinguish Vrindavan from Mathura and Dwarka. So Devaki and Vasudev are both parents of Krishna in the mode of Mathura and Dwarka. Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj are also the parents of Krishna, but in the mood of Vrindavan. Now, when this is the Purushottam month that is going on, as you all know, it's a very holy month. Lord Jagannath is also called Purushottam. Jagannath Puri is also called Purushottam Kshetra. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also Purushottam, the topmost person, he is Krishna himself. In Jagannath Puri, Purushottam Kshetra, Mahaprabhu would often come in front of Lord Jagannath and recite many nice verses from the scriptures glorifying Lord Jagannath. And one of these verses, he says, Jayati Jayati Devo Devaki Nandana Sau Jayati Jayati Krishna Vrishni Vansha Pradipa Jayati Jayati Megha Shyamala Komalango Jayati Jayati Prithvi Ara Nasho Mukundaha. He is glorifying Krishna, Jayati Jayati. Devaki Nandana So. All glories to that Krishna who is the son of Devaki. Jayati Jayati, all glories to Krishna who is the light of the dynasty of the Vrishnis. Glories, glories to that Krishna whose luster defeats the color and the beauty of the fresh monsoon cloud. And all glories to that Mukunda or Krishna who diminishes the burden of the earth. This is a verse from the famous Mukunda Mala Stotra of King Kulashekhar. So Mahaprabhu used to quote this and recite this in front of Jagannath and glorify Krishna as Devaki Nandana. So Devaki Nandana, Nandan means to give pleasure to, and usually refers to the son or the daughter. So Devaki Nandan implies that Krishna is the son of Devaki. But the Acharyas mention that another name of Yashoda was also Devaki. And therefore when you say Devaki Nandan, you also mean Yashoda Nandan. So all glories to Krishna, who is the son of Mother Devaki and also the son of Mother Yashoda. And Jayati is the present tense. So even though Krishna had departed from this world, when Shukadeva Goswami spoke to Srimad Bhagavatam to give Parikshit, he still uses the present tense, not the past tense. Why? Because Krishna is eternally present. He is always present on the spiritual platform. And Mother Devaki and Mother Yashoda are eternally his mothers. In one sense, Krishna has no parents because Krishna is the father and mother of everyone. He is the Supreme Lord. He is the source of everything. Who is a parent? A parent is one who gives birth to us. So the parent is senior to the child. The parent exists before the existence of the child. But for God, it doesn't work like that. God is the source of everyone. So He is the true parent of everyone. But nonetheless, with a desire to enjoy pastimes of love with His devotees in various mellows, including the parental mellow, Krishna accepts some of His pure devotees as His parents. Because they also want to serve Him and love Him in that mood, He reciprocates. And because there are different places like Vrindavan and Mathura, therefore in both these places He has parents who love Him in the respective moods of those places. So in Vrindavan there is Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj who love Him in the mood of Vrindavan without considering Him as God. And their love has no trace of any awe and reverence. He is simply their lovable boy. In Mathura and Dwarka, on the other hand, that intimacy, as I mentioned earlier, is contaminated, so to speak, by that feeling of awe and reverence. So because Mathura and Dwarka have a different mood, so you have parents for Krishna there also. Originally in Krishna's pastimes, Krishna appeared as the son of Mother Devaki and Vasudeva in the prison of Kamsa. And then he was transferred to Vrindavan where he accepted Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj as his foster parents. But truly speaking, even Devaki and Nanda Vasudeva are not Krishna's parents. They have been chosen to play the role of Krishna's parents. Krishna is not born like an ordinary child is born in this world. Krishna simply appears. He chooses some of his devotees to act as his parents and therefore manifest his presence through them. That's all. So therefore Devaki and Vasudev on one hand and Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj on the other hand, both are eternally parents of Krishna. So even now Krishna is the son of Devaki and Yashoda. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami uses the present tense, or rather King Kulashekhar uses the present tense, Jayati Jayati. He also glorifies Krishna as the light of the Vrishni dynasty. He glorifies Krishna's beauty, His complexion defeats the beauty of the fresh rain cloud. He also glorifies Krishna as one who reduces the burden of the earth by killing the demoniac population. Another verse that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sing in front of Lord Jagannath was also similar. It's a very famous verse. Jayati Janayavaso Devaki Janmavado Yaduvaru Parishat Svayato Devrasyanna Dharmam Sthirachara Vrijinakna Susmita Shri Mukhena Vrajapurabaritanam Vardhalan Kamadevam. Shukadeva Goswami speaks this very beautiful and important verse. And again, it begins with the present tense of the glorification, Jayati. All glories to Krishna, who is known as Jananivas. Now, this word has become famous in ISKCON due to our head pujari in Mayapur, who is Jananivas Das. So, he is a servant of Jananivas, which is the name of Krishna. So, why is Krishna called Jananivas? Because, number one, Jana means people, Nivas means to live. So because Krishna incarnates or appears within this world and lives amongst the people, the ordinary people, as if he were an ordinary man, although he's not. He is the Supreme Absolute Truth. But when he appears here in this world, he mingles amongst the population as if he were just one of them. So he's called Jananivas. Another meaning of the word Jananivas is that he who is the Nivas, or the refuge of all the people of this world, he is the ultimate refuge for everyone, shelter for everyone. So this is another understanding of the term Jananivas. So Shukadeva Goswami glorifies Krishna as being Jayati Jananivas, and then Devaki Janma Vado. Vada means the argument or the contention or the belief. Devaki Janma means that he has taken birth from Devaki. So all glories to Krishna, who is the shelter of all the living entities, who is known as the son of Devaki. Mind the usage of the language. Who is known as the son of Devaki. Not that he is actually the son of Devaki. In the sense that we are the sons of our parents or the daughters of our parents. So Krishna is known, Vada, the word Vada means is known as, or is understood to be, or is thought of as being. So Krishna is known as the son of Mother Yashoda. Jayati Janinivaso Devaki Janmavato Yaduvara Parishat. He is served by the members of the Yadu dynasty and also by the cowherd folk, the gopas and gopis of Vrindavan. So Yaduvara indicates both the Yadu dynasty of Dwarka as well as the cowherd boy, the cowherd men and women of Vrindavan. So Krishna is always served by both the residents of Dwarka as well as the residents of Vrindavan, again in the present tense, to indicate that these things are going on eternally. Krishna's pastimes never cease. In the spiritual world, they're going on. Swayadorbhir asyanna dharmam. Swayadorbhir means by his own arms. Asyanna dharmam. He destroys sinful people or evil people, the demoniac population. Swayadorbhir, Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, also indicates that he may accomplish this task through his great devotees like Arjuna. So either by his own arms personally, Krishna kills the demons, or he does it through the arms of his great devotees like Arjuna. And thus he delivers even the demoniac population. Sthirachara Vrijinaknaha. Sthira refers to those living entities who are non-moving. Chara refers to those living entities who are moving. There are two types of living entities in this world, the moving and the non-moving. Vrijina means inauspicious things. Gna means to destroy. So Krishna is the destroyer of the ill fortune of the moving and non-moving living entities. Again, the present tense. It's not that Krishna stopped doing it some time ago. Krishna is doing it even now, and he will continue to do this in the future. Susmita Shri Mukhena, which means Krishna has a beautiful face, which is ornamented even further by his beautiful smile. Susmita. And because of this beauty of Krishna and his very attractive smile, what happens? Vrajapura Vanitanam Vartayan Kamadevam. So this beauty of Krishna captivates and enamors the gopis of Vrindavan, who begin to love him even more. So these are the wonderful descriptions of Krishna given by Shukadev Goswami, by King Kulashekhar and so on, in which we understand Krishna as being known as the son of Mother Devaki, and indeed also of Mother Yashoda. So this is the fortune of those who become the mothers and fathers of Krishna, or those who become the friends of Krishna, those who become the lovers of Krishna. They develop such a very deep, intimate sense of love for Krishna that they actually consider Krishna to be these things. Even though Krishna is actually their eternal father, their eternal mother, their grandfather, etc. But as this purport indicates, in order to facilitate Krishna's pastimes of love in different mellows, devotees wishing to serve Krishna in these different mellows are covered over by Krishna's internal pastime potency, which is Yoga Maya. And because of that covering of Yoga Maya, the devotees are unable to see Krishna as God. And they consider Krishna to be their son or their friend or their lover and so on. So therefore Yoga Maya is very necessary in the spiritual world to facilitate Krishna's pastimes. If the devotees always remembered Krishna as being God, it would have diluted that wonderful ecstasy of the intimacy of love for Krishna. And of the two, Mother Devaki and Mother Yashoda, it is Mother Yashoda who is more fortunate. And the reason for that is that Mother Yashoda, number one, as I mentioned earlier, doesn't stop thinking of Krishna as her son, no matter what power and opulence and strength and miracles that Krishna exhibits or displays in his pastimes. Whereas with Mother Devaki, that is an issue. And number two, she was able to participate in a very, very intimate way in the childhood pastimes of Krishna, which Devaki was not able to. When Krishna was born as the son of Devaki, he appeared as a baby with four arms, and then he displayed his four arms, his four-armed Narayana form, and then again he transformed himself to a small two-armed baby, and then Vasudev transferred Krishna to Vrindavan, to Gokula. At that time, Mother Devaki was not able to witness his pastimes. She was not even able to feed him milk, as any mother usually does to a newly born child. She did not have that fortune, and she always regretted that. Whereas Mother Yashoda was able to feed him milk, and she was able to participate in all the pastimes, childhood pastimes of Krishna. She got the benefit of that nectar. So we understand Mother Yashoda's position to be superior to that of Mother Devaki. And much later, when Krishna came to Dwarka, Mother Devaki was regretting that she never had the opportunity to feed her children and to feed Krishna. So then Krishna actually brought back, as we will see, Krishna brought back the six dead sons of Devaki, and she got a chance to actually feed them and fulfill her desires. So in any case, these are some wonderful pastimes that happened. And of the two sets of parents, because Devaki is Mother Yashoda is supreme. Even she has a higher position than even Nanda Maharaj. In the hierarchy, in the Vatsalya Ras, or the mellow of parental affection, Mother Yashoda is number one. Even higher than Nanda Maharaj. Because generally, in the scheme of things, in family life, the mother plays a more important role than the father. Even though the father's role is very important, but the mother's role is completely irreplaceable. She's unique, the number one. So Mother Yashoda is the topmost lover of Krishna, the topmost devotee of Krishna, in the mood of parental affection. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj is bewildered about the extraordinary fortune of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. And he asks King Parikshit, Nanda kim akarod brahman, shreya eva mahodayam, Yashoda cha mahabhaga, papau yasya stanam harihi. My dear Shukadev Goswami, I am unable to understand the extraordinary fortune of these two personalities, Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. As far as Nanda Maharaj is concerned, what kind of pious activities and austerities must he have performed? Shreya eva mahodayam. Nandah kim akarot. What kind of pious activities and austerities did Nanda perform? And as far as Mother Yashoda, oh, she is greatly fortunate. Yashoda cha mahabhaga. Mahabhaga means extremely fortunate. She is even more fortunate than Nanda Maharaj. Why so? Because above yasya stanam harihi, because she personally fed Krishna with her own breast milk. So this is the exalted position of some of the eternal associates of Krishna in the spiritual world. And these eternal associates descend with Krishna when Krishna descends into this material world to perform pastimes. So in Krishna's pastimes, we see two categories of devotees, of his associates. One are the Nitya Siddhas, those eternal associates, who descend with Krishna from the spiritual world and participate in his pastimes. And the second are those devotees who were formerly within the material world, but have been promoted to the status of being associates of Krishna when Krishna comes here. Of course, there are various categories of these also, but we won't go into that now. So suffice it to say that Krishna is always surrounded by his eternal associates. Whether they are Nitya Siddhas or whether they are devotees who have risen to that platform by performance of sadhana bhakti over many, many lifetimes here in the material world, but they all serve Krishna and exchange these mellows of love with him. In this verse, in this series of verses, we see Devaki now understanding her son's, quote-unquote son's, power, and now she is remembering the fact that her sons had been killed by Krishna, and she thinks that Krishna now will be able to help her and that he will be able to retrieve the six sons. So she is about to petition or beseech Lord Krishna to bring those sons back at least one time. And exactly what she says, what her prayers will be, that we will see in the next verse. So we'll stop here for any questions or comments. Yes.
Thank you so much. Is there an application level for devotees here? In when we hear so much throughout the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy that the emphasis or the weight is on intimacy, and all reverence is, as you say, sometimes seen as a contamination. Is there an application for us at our level, or is it just we're aspiring first for awe and reverence and let's work on that? Or is there somehow or other in a correct etiquette, respectful way we should also be aspiring for that mood in our sadhana level, or no?
We have a healthy blend of both. On one hand, yes, we definitely do aspire for the kind of love that the Brajavasis had, or should I say have, for Krishna. That's our goal. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to teach us how to become devotees in the mood of Vrindavan. And that is especially the feature of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. So we cherish, relish and aspire for the mood that the Brajavasis have. That's our aspiration. In fact, many of our prayers that we sing every day are similar. We look at the prayers we sing in the morning, right from the Samsara Dava prayers to the Tulasi prayers. Yes? We're aspiring for that kind of love for the love. So yes, that hankering, that aspiration is definitely there. At the same time, because we don't have that kind of love at the moment, we should not artificially try to relate to Krishna in that way, especially with respect to his deity form, lest we commit offenses against the deities. So therefore, when we serve the deities of Krishna, there must be a certain degree of intimacy, yes, but also caution. And some degree of awe must be there, in the sense that we're very particular about the rules and regulations, we're very particular about cleanliness. There are so many rules and regulations on the altar. So when we come in front of the altar, and even in the temple room actually, we don't gossip, we don't shout, we don't get angry at others, right? We don't do anything that shouldn't be done in front of the deity, because the deity is the most respectable and worshipable personality for us. We wouldn't quarrel with each other. We shouldn't anywhere quarrel, but especially in front of the deities. We should be very cautious, and those who serve on the altar are very particular about this. You have to be very clean, you have to wear fresh clothes, you have to have had your bath. Whereas in Vrindavan, the residents of Vrindavan don't really worry about many of these things. They don't worry that they should be very respectful to Krishna. The cowherd boys may sometimes rebuke him or threaten him. Mother Yashoda may chastise him. The gopis may sometimes speak harshly to him. But all this is in the platform of very, very deep love for Krishna. The highest platform of love. So when it comes to the worship of the deities, we do that. We serve in a regulated way, not just in a spontaneous way. Although when we serve, we will try to serve with as much devotion as we can. And gradually as we have this combination, it works. And then internally we cultivate the devotional mode of the residents of Vrindavan, but externally we offer all respect and follow the rules and regulations. We would come in front of Krishna and the deity and offer obeisances and so on. Whereas the cowherd boys don't offer obeisances to Krishna. The gopis don't offer obeisances to Krishna. In fact, Krishna offers obeisances to Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj every day. Right? It's a healthy blend of the two for us. Internally we try to cultivate the mood of Vrindavan, but externally we follow some precautions, so that mood may actually be fostered within our hearts in a very genuine and substantial way. Alright? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. Maharaj, I understand that Devaki and Vasudev, they were previously also parents of Krishna in different ages, different incarnations. So we find some descriptions of them in those particular incarnations. But about Yashoda Mai and Nanda Maharaj, from where do we find more? How do we learn about them more? You know, can't learn. I'm not used to it. we want to learn about them more, how do we find out?
Well, there are descriptions about their previous lives too. Just as Devaki and Vasudeva, Krishna and Sutapa. So similarly, Shukadeva Goswami explains in the 8th or the 9th, 8th chapter of the Srimad Tenth Canto that they were Drona and Dhara, who were Vasus living in the higher planets, and they performed austerities to have the Lord as their son, and then Krishna fulfilled their desire. Now that said, another important point must be made, that even though these instances of the previous lives of these eternal parents of Krishna are given, we should know that they are actually eternal parents. So they are not actually the same personalities of the previous life, but those personalities got a chance to enter into the bodies of these eternal parents and also experience and relish that same mode of love. So Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj are not Dhara and Drona actually. They are eternally Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj in Goloka Vrindavan. They come, and Drona and Dhara also wanted to be parents of Krishna. So they get a chance to participate by entering into Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. Similarly, with respect to Devaki and Vasudeva, they are eternally parents of Krishna in Mathura and Dwarka in the spiritual world. But Sutapa and Krishna get the chance to participate in that mode by entering into the bodies of Devaki and Vasudeva. So that's how we should understand it. Okay? But, yes.
Thank you, Mother. I was a bit perplexed and confused about Devaki, in spite of knowing that her son is the Supreme Lord. Why would a pious and pious soul would desire for something else, like, you know, bringing back her other six sons when she has the Supreme Lord with her? Because if I know that Lord Krishna is with me, then he's the... I wouldn't desire to be as a pious soul.
Well, you're saying that because you're not a mother. So mother is always attached to her children. So even if she has God as her son, but she still wants her own children. That's one. And second, of course, this is Krishna's pastime. This is all meant to indicate the glories of Krishna, that Krishna can actually do this. And we will see as in the next few verses that Krishna will actually do that. That increases our appreciation and love for Krishna. Okay? Any other question? Yes. One, right? This side here.
Hi Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj, for the nice class. I have two questions, so I'll just do them one at a time. First is in relation to the last question. I was thinking that often we hear that we shouldn't ask Krishna for something that we desire, because Krishna knows the heart of the devotee and he'll give us what we need. But here we see that Devaki is, you know, petitioning Krishna to fulfill a desire that she has.
Yes, generally on the path of pure devotional service, we are told to not ask for anything material. Spiritually, you can ask for. You can ask for more love. You can ask for more freedom from material desires. These are legitimate requests you can make to Krishna. So the question is, why is Mother Devaki, who is an eternal associate of Krishna, asking for something that appears to be material, right? Well, on the platform of love of the eternal associates of Krishna with him, there is nothing material. They are all operating on that Yoga Maya platform. Say, for example, the friends of Krishna want something from Krishna. they'll take his tiffin, they'll steal his food, they'll do something. They ask Krishna, give me this, give me that. So on that platform, it's all a part of the pastimes. It just serves to nourish the sweetness of those pastimes. Devaki here is acting under the influence of the Yogamaya, because ultimately the whole idea is to exhibit Krishna's glories. And also because Devaki is here in the material world, in the spiritual world these things don't go on. Kamsa killing the six sons of Devaki doesn't happen in the spiritual world. So since Devaki is playing the role of a mother in the material world, so naturally she is exhibiting the symptoms that a normal mother has, which is to have affection for her children. And we can also imagine the trauma that she had to undergo. Six times in succession, one after the other, right after birth, the baby was killed by her own brother, and killed in such a horrible way by beating the baby to the stone on the ground. Can you imagine what she went through? So therefore now she desires to see them. So it's a natural, because she's part of this material world now, apparently, at least from on one plane. She's acting within the material world. So she's exhibiting the symptoms of what a normal mother would do, but in relation to Krishna, and that eventually serves Krishna's purpose, because he wants to exhibit his glories to the world, so that we will not doubt his position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And also as Bhakta Vatsala, who is very affectionate to his devotees and therefore fulfills all the desires of his devotees. Okay?
The other question is that Vatsalya Rasa is one of the five rasas. So let's say, by probability, 20% of the living entities will be in Vatsalya Rasa. I mean, probably not, but just let's say like that. But in the spiritual world, we don't see so many positions, right? For parent, for people, for living entities who want to be Krishna's parents. So then, what services in the spiritual world do living entities in the world of Vatsalya Rasa perform?
Well, it is not that Yashoda Nanda Maharaj alone love Krishna in the parental mood in the Vatsalya Rasa. They are the chief representatives of that mood. But all the elder gopas and gopis also love Krishna in that mood. The friends of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. So they are all in that category. So there's unlimited number of devotees who love Krishna in the Vatsalya Rasa. The younger gopis will love Krishna in the Madhurya Rasa. The younger gopas, cowherd boys, will love Krishna in the mood of friendship. And there are some older boys, or older gopas and gopis, who may love Krishna in the mood of servitude also, when they serve Krishna. So yes, the mood is there. But amongst all those who love Krishna in the mood of Vatsalya, Nanda and Yashoda are the best. And if you read teachings of Queen Kunti, the book, Prabhupada also gives the hierarchy of devotees in the Vatsalya Rasa. The queens, 15 queens of Vasudeva and so on, are all part of the Vatsalya Rasa. But in Vrindavan also, all the elder gopas and gopis, they also love Krishna in that mood. One final question, yes. It's time for breakfast.
Thank you, Maharaj. I wanted to ask in Bhagavatam, I have heard from in different lectures the use of the word piety is again and again used in 10th cantos, you know, what pious activities these people may have performed, and this is in connection to intimate devotees of the Lord. And I was always thinking that devotees of the Lord are beyond piety. So is it the case that these devotees, you know, although they are eternal associates of the Lord, but still they have performed pious activities for many, many lifetimes, and therefore they are able to serve the Lord? Or is it just because they are serving the Lord, because they are the eternal servants of the Lord?
There are different types of piety. One type of piety is ordinary mundane piety, but that has no connection to devotional service. So when we talk of the piety of the great devotees, we are not talking of this mundane piety. There is another type of piety which is devotional piety. Devotional credits which are accrued or acquired by these great devotees in the previous life by performing devotional service, knowingly and unknowingly. And therefore gradually over many lifetimes they build that stock of devotional credit to the point when they then spontaneously love Krishna. That's called bhaktyonmukhi sukriti. Okay, so thank you very much. We'll stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande.